Today's Bible reading is taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, beginning at verse 25. You can follow it on the screens or in your Bibles on page 1057. Jesus has just been talking to his disciples about the end of the age, and now he's telling them about his return. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. He told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. I tell you the truth. This generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you like a trap. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch, and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
not easy waiting, is it? Start to feel very uncomfortable, don't we? Wondering what's going on. How long am I going to be waiting for? Why am I even waiting? Start to look around, ask questions. We can become easily distracted by other things, other noises. And then suddenly, without even realizing it, we're not waiting anymore. We've given up waiting. We can't even remember what we were waiting for. And so off we go and do something else instead. Welcome to Advent. The time of year in the church's calendar when we rediscover the importance of waiting. As a guy called Charles Stanley once said, "Our willingness to wait reveals the value we place on the object we're waiting for." Our willingness to wait reveals the value we place on the object we're waiting for. So I suppose the reverse of that would be to say that if you're not willing to wait for something, it's because you don't consider it of great value to you. There's another more famous quote that's not attributed to anyone, it's anonymous, but I'm sure you've heard it. It says, "The longer you wait for something, the more you appreciate it when you get it. Because anything worth having is definitely worth waiting for." The younger ones might remember Cheryl Cole or whatever her new name is. She made a whole song out of that. I'm not going to sing it. Although I can play that on guitar, interestingly. The temptation around this time of year is to rush on ahead into Christmas. It almost seems that Halloween's finished, so now we move on to Christmas. And we get on to talking about the Christmas message. But to do so is to perhaps miss the importance of waiting. See, after all, we know, don't we, that there's 400 years between the end of the Old Testament and the start of the New. 400 years when God was silent. 400 years of waiting for God to turn up. And he turned up as that baby. So, unless I've missed it, we still find ourselves now in a time of waiting. Waiting for Christ to come again. And if I've missed it, you've all missed it too. Don't mean to worry you. So I hope we haven't. So waiting's a very important thing. We can't understate the importance of Advent and its message. So maybe a good question to ponder this Advent is, do I really think God is worth waiting for? Do I really think God is worth waiting for? Do I really live as if I'm waiting for Christ to return or call me home, as the song says? Isaiah 64 verse 4 says, "Since ancient times no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him." It's an interesting statement, isn't it, from Isaiah, that this wonderful God acts on behalf of those who wait for him. See, sometimes I know we have to conform to the culture around us. But in Advent, we find a message that is radically counter-cultural. See, everything in our society today, it doesn't do waiting, does it? We want everything now. Technology progresses so quickly, it's impossible to stay up to date with it. If I don't respond to an email within 24 hours, I'm considered difficult to get hold of. You laugh. That was said to Everton. I'm very difficult to get hold of. Or, well, why do I even need to respond to the email in the first place? I'm too busy for that, aren't I? We live in an impatient society. But we are called to be a people who wait patiently and faithfully. I wonder how you felt whilst you were waiting for me to get up and speak. What were you thinking? What thoughts were going through your head? Were they good thoughts? Or did you think, great, a bit of quietness to reflect on the gospel reading? Or, great, a bit of space just to be with God? Do we find ourselves clock watching because we've got somewhere else to be? Oh, yes, but it's very important, Andy. I can't miss it. I've got to get there. I've got to do this. I was just reflecting while I was sat there. I don't think there's another profession out there where that the temptation of that is greater than for clergy. You will come across many clergy rushing from one thing to the next because it's so important. What would happen if we don't do it? Maybe God will. How is it that we find ourselves so busy? Trying to pack in as much as we can into the time that we have. So busy trying to live our life, we completely miss the point and end up missing the very opportunity to live our life. I want to pause for a moment, just do a little exercise with you. Think of three things that you consider to be important in your life, the most important things. Think of three things that are important to you. It could be family, job, shopping, Emmerdale, I don't know, whatever. Whatever the three most important things you are, what comes to your mind? I'm pretending to say to you. So now think, those three things. How much time on average a week do you spend on them, doing them, with them, whatever it is? Just roughly. Where's God in that? Where is he? Don't get me wrong, of course, all of us could always be praying more or reading the Bible more. That's not what I mean. That's not the point of the exercise. The point is, what's most important to you? See, that's why Advent is so important. So crucial in the calendar year, so important not to rush on ahead of it into Christmas. Because in Advent, we refocus ourselves. We place God as the most important person, thing in our lives again. Because we deliberately carve out time to wait. To remember that we are in a time of waiting for Christ to come again. In the gospel passage that we heard read, Jesus urges us to be always on the watch, so that one day we might stand before the Son of Man, so that we might join Jesus in the new kingdom of God that is coming in, the new heaven and the new earth. The passage spoke about some things that were to happen, and it may seem confusing if you picked up on it, because Jesus said that this generation will not pass away before these things happen. And he was, of course, talking to the disciples. But if you read the chapter as a whole, you'll see that what Jesus is referring to here. Because you realize he's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. He's telling his disciples who live in Jerusalem, that's where they are. He says, watch out for the signs. Be careful. Because when you spot them, be ready. Get out quick. Before the destruction comes. Otherwise, you will be caught up in it. And this prophecy was fulfilled within that generation. Because in AD 70, the Romans came along in response to the Jews' rebellion, and they completely flattened Jerusalem, including the temple. Gone. See, it would have been very easy, wouldn't it, for those disciples, some 35 years later, to forget the words of Jesus, to forget what he'd warned them and told them about, to forget what the signs were. And they could easily have got caught up in the devastation. But that warning of stay alert, keep watch, don't forget, That still rings true for us today, doesn't it? You've heard Everton say, just recently, you know, the last few weeks, he told us not a single one of us knows when Jesus will come again or when we might die. So until one of those things happens, we wait. There's nothing else you can do. We wait. And while we wait, Jesus says this, be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you suddenly, like a trap. How many of us have felt weighed down by the anxieties of life? How many of us have known people who have got towards the end of their life and wondered where it had gone? The Bible's clear. From dust we are made. To dust we will return. We come into the world with nothing. I promise you, you will leave it with nothing. So be careful where you hold your value to. Yes, there are stresses and strains along the way. But as Isaiah said, we have a most wonderful God who lovingly and completely takes care of those who wait for him. So easy to be distracted, isn't it? So easy to lose the focus. So easy to forget what someone was just talking about. The Bible doesn't say life will be easy, because it's not. But it does say we have a God who's there, waiting for us, ironically. So I pray that this Advent, we might really grasp what it means to wait upon the Lord. To trust the Lord implicitly with the whole of our lives, that we might place God as the highest value in our lives, so that one day we may stand before him. Isn't that something worth waiting for? Isn't it? You see, sometimes, as I said, all you can do is wait. There's no point rushing around. There's no point busying ourselves. You just have to stop and wait and let God be God. This week it's been a tough week. It's been a busy week. There's been lots going on, lots needed doing, because Claire and I are going away tomorrow on a holiday, which we can't wait. But because of that, things need to be done. Things have to be prepared before you go. We had the men's breakfast yesterday, which was brilliant, wasn't it? All these things need planning. And then in the midst of that, life comes. And the car that you're meant to be driving down to the airport in stops working. And the garage say we can't fix it till Monday. I say that's no good, we fly out Monday. So now we're cramming into a Nissan Micra. That's going to be fun. And I get a phone call from a mum to say my dad's gone back into hostel again for the third time. And this time the doctors say it's pneumonia. Life is tough. Life will throw everything at you, all at the same time. And all we can do is wait. I could run around trying to fix it, find a garage to fix the car, go down, be with my dad, run around, do this, do that, send emails, work till 4 o'clock in the morning. Is it going to help? Is it going to change anything? But God can. God can. Because when we wait, we remember what we're waiting for. Till he returns or calls us home. That's surely worth waiting for.